From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Today on Let the Bible Speak, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a message entitled Unfailing Promises of an Unfailing God, part of his series in the book of Joshua. In chapter 23, verse 14, sensing that his death was imminent, Joshua exhorted the children of Israel with these words, Ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Looking back over his life, Joshua could see the hand of the Lord leading him. Things that had been difficult and sometimes painful were now seen as part of God's plan. In reviewing the past decades, Joshua pointed the nation to an immutable person, the God who does not change. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from Psalm 91 and verse 9. Thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. The Israelites in the wilderness were continually exposed to change. Whenever the pillar stayed its motion, the tents were pitched. But tomorrow, ere the morning sun had risen, the trumpets sounded, the ark was in motion, and the fiery, cloudy pillar was leading the way through the narrow defiles of the mountain, up the hillside, or along the arid waste of the wilderness. They had scarcely time to rest a little, before they heard the sound of, Away, this is not your rest. You must still be onward journeying towards Canaan. They were never long in one place. Even wells and palm trees could not detain them. Yet they had an abiding home in their God. His cloudy pillar was their roof tree, and its flame by night their household fire. They must go onward from place to place, continually changing, never having time to settle and to say, Now we are secure, in this place we shall dwell. Yet, says Moses, though we are always changing, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place throughout all generations. The Christian knows no change with regard to God. He may be rich today and poor tomorrow. He may be sickly today and well tomorrow. He may be in happiness today. Tomorrow he may be distressed. But there is no change with regard to his relationship to God. If he loved me yesterday, he loves me today. My unmoving mansion of rest is my blessed Lord. Let prospects be blighted, let hopes be blasted, let joy be withered, let mildews destroy everything. I have lost nothing of what I have in God. He is my strong habitation, whereunto I can continually resort. I am a pilgrim in the world, but at home in my God. In the earth I wander, but in God I dwell in a quiet habitation.
This peace. defies all man's reason. Its boundaries exceed time and space. God promises peace to his children who trust his unmerited grace. Peace divine that the Father planned, peace made mine by the Spirit's hand, peace that no one can understand. Sweet peace, the gift of God's love. So
what is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America, associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling, or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs, made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
The world seems to offer a lot. Now, it is a figment of the imagination, but nonetheless, that's the best that's ever going to be for the ungodly. I want you to realize, if you're not saved today and you live and die without Christ, this is the best that's ever going to be for you for all eternity. There's never going to be anything better. Only worse and worse and worse. Because the end of the ungodly is the judgment and the wrath of a thrice holy God. But for the child of God, though there may be the fogs of circumstances to cloud his thinking or to obscure from his understanding the purposes of God, yet the future is always bright. This is what the book of Proverbs tells us, that the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And believer, I want you to understand this morning, whether you can see your way out of your problems at this time or whether you can't, whether you can understand what God is doing in your life at this time or whether you can't, whether the sunlight is streaming across your pathway or the fogs and the mists are blowing in your way, it really makes no ultimate difference. The solution is getting closer to your understanding all the time, because the Lord knows what He's doing, and soon we will too. I don't say we have to wait to the day of our death to know. That's obvious from the text that we don't, because Joshua was wanting the children of Israel to know it there and then. But let us understand this, that we, however much we know it now, when we come to leave this life and go out into eternity, like Joshua, we will have the assurance, looking back, that God has not failed. This is the testimony that Joshua established. In the light of the perfect day, Joshua established the testimony concerning the unfailing promises of his unfailing God. And his testimony simply was that the Lord's promises to his people never, never, never fail, but are always perfectly fulfilled. As you think of Joshua's statement, you will see that he really emphasizes three simple in the sense that we can set them forth in very simple language, but profound things. First, he draws our attention to an immutable person. You see, the text makes no sense whatsoever apart from the central figure in it, which is the Lord your God. The Lord your God. Joshua's testimony reflects first on the Lord. Why do his promises become fulfilled? Because of who he is and because of what he is. He never changes and he never fails. That's the testimony of Scripture. In Malachi 3, verse 6, Jehovah speaks and says, I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. We have the same thing stated in Hebrews 13, verse 8, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, where he says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The same in Hebrews chapter 1, where the Father speaks to the Son, and he compares, or should I say, contrasts the immutability of the Son of God with the changeableness of all creation. They shall change. Everything around us changes. The heavens and the earth will pass away. They'll be rolled up by God like a scroll. But the Lord never changes. He never grows old. He never alters in his being. He is God. He never alters in His perfections. You think of all the mighty attributes of God. What was true of Him is true of Him and will be true forever. His purpose can never be overthrown. He says, "My counsel shall stand. I will do all My will. Let hell rage against them. His purpose will not be overthrown. Let all the nations of the earth rise up against Him. Yet he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. His purpose will not be overthrown." And thank God, His work will never be left incomplete. Now here is the immutable person. Today I want you to get your eyes on Him. Let's understand this, that God is God. There's not a thing in the world can change Him. There's not a thing in eternity can change Him. There is not a circumstance can change Him. When we are going through the deep passages of life's trials, when we're suffering in mind, we're suffering in body, when we can't see further than the end of our own nose, we just don't understand. When we're like Jacob and we tend to say, "All these things are against me. What on earth is happening to me? I can't figure it out." Let me tell you, my friend, it is absolutely essential that instead of focusing most on the circumstances and saying, "What is God doing?" we are better first to focus on the Lord Himself. Let's interpret what is happening in the light of who He is and what He is. And when we put the Lord first and interpret things in His immutable light, then we will begin to make sense of things. And while we don't make sense of them, we still have the peace and the assurance of knowing that the Lord, the sovereign, unchangeable God, is in absolute and total control. Get back to what I quoted from Malachi 3:6. "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." We normally take that, and I think with a great deal of reason, to mean that because God never changes, He will not visit us with His all-consuming wrath. That's certainly true. But we can also apply this to the circumstances of life. There are things which seem to be consuming you. There are things that would eat you up. There are things that would burn up any usefulness in your life. There are things that would just blow you off course. Your whole life would be consumed in utter uselessness. Now listen, the Lord says, "I am Jehovah. I do not change." And because of that, you'll not be consumed. Joshua therefore calls us to view and consider an immutable person. I have to say that there are few things in Scripture that are of more immediate blessing to the people of God than to consider His absolute immutability. We live in a world very aptly summed up in the words of the old hymn, "Abide with me, change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me." Let that be our prayer today. Instead of first trying to solve the problem of what's happening, let's get back to our immutable God and get this on our heart. "Lord, you never change. Abide with me." Let me live in the warmth of that assurance of my immutable Redeemer. But then Joshua takes another step, and he draws our attention to an unbreakable promise. He says there that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Now, this is obviously a look at the past. Joshua is looking backwards and saying, until now, God has kept his word. His promise has been unbreakable. Did he promise to bring you out of Egypt? Did he do it? He is the one who said, I have seen the affliction of my people. I have heard their cry. I am come down to deliver them. Did he deliver them? Yes, he did. Did he bring you across the Red Sea on that great day when Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, with the sea before you, the desert behind you and all around you, and the armies of Pharaoh thundering on their way to cut you down? God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You're going to go through that sea in safety. Did he keep his word? Bless God, he did. And he always does make a way to pass over for his people. Did the Lord keep you through those long wandering years in the wilderness? Did he bring you through the River Jordan, cast down the walls of Jericho, smite your enemies before you, the confederacy of both the south and the north? Did he bring you to this day, fulfilling all his word? Yes, he did. Joshua is speaking of the past. But you know, the message has an important word about the present and about the future. Clearly, Joshua was not saying to the children of Israel that the dependability of God's promises was merely something that was historically true and had no validity to them in that day and for the future days. I mean, that would have been absolute mockery. Joshua was not saying, look, at all those years, God kept his word. But that's all. It's just a matter of history. You don't have any such assurance now. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, look at what God has done, and from that understand what God is doing and what God is going to do. Now, as soon as you look at it like that, see what it does to your immediate circumstances. Are there things that we don't understand? Yes, there are. Many of us are still in the frame of mind that Joshua was in at Ai. But instead of saying, Lord, why have you not fulfilled your word? We have got to understand he is fulfilling his word. If only I had eyes to see it. And there are parts of his word that I have not even considered. And perhaps they are the parts that he is now fulfilling in order to finish all the rest. That's certainly what was happening at Ai. When I look at what God has done, I know that's what he is doing, for he never changes. And I know that's what he will do, so that it is always true for the people of God that there never fails one good thing which the Lord has promised concerning his people.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.